It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
All right, hour number two, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And we have got our next guest. Is it Renata? Am I saying that right?
Yes,
Dr. Renata Moon, welcome. And I mentioned you a moment ago, our topic today is going to be, does anyone really believe Marxist communism ideas were organic? Before that, though, you are a first-generation American whose family fled from communism, so you know firsthand how all that works, more so than the rest of us do.
Yeah, sadly, I do.
Yeah, I'm not saying that in a positive way, other than you right. can teach others what that means, which is what we're going to do today.
Thank you. Yeah, I do have to start with my disclaimer, because I do have employers after me for my First Amendment right. And my disclaimer is that my views are my own. I don't represent any employer or other entity.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate you doing that. We had that conversation a moment ago. I have a doctor that comes on with us each week, the first hour of every week. We kind of go through the same thing there as well. And you are in good company here, though, just so you know. We are very much, I've been talking literally since COVID began about everything from mandates to lockdowns to the masks to all of the ridiculous things that we've gone through to then, you know, vaccine in the workplace and the mandates there, and on we go. And literally every, at least an hour, if not more, throughout the week, daily for a while, Dr. Moon, we've been covering those things on a regular basis because of just how outlandish some of these things have gotten.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, they're terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so let's get into that. I mean, again, going back to our topic, does anyone really believe Marxist communism ideas were organic? The reality is, I feel, no, they're not. And those ideals, by the way, as you know, are still around today.
Yeah. My mom, who fled here in her mid-20s, was taught how to take down a country like ours when she was in high school. They were actively being taught this when she was in high school. And she obviously hasn't done anything to hurt our nation. She loves America. But this was something that has been in the works for quite some time.
Okay, so give us what some of those things were that she was taught so that our folks listening don't think I'm crazy, because I talk about these things all the time.
Yeah, no, they were just basic things like break down the family structure, cause lawlessness and chaos. You know, do as much to disrupt society and the normal pace of things as you can. Take over the media. She recalls during the communist era, and I remember it when I first went to visit my grandparents. You know, they had no news. They had propaganda everywhere.
Right.
And I was a little kid, but my grandma sat me down in her apartment, and we were listening to the Voice of America, which was us, the Americans, piping in the truth to her communist country. And I just remember feeling so proud as a kid. You know, this is my nation pumping in the truth. And, you know, look where we are right now.
Wow. Wow. No, you're exactly right. Look where we are now. You're lucky, other than programs like ours here, to where I am not, just so you know, to our background here at Crawford Broadcasting, I have never been told. I've been on air now for 10 years, Dr. Moon. I have never been told one time what to say, what not to say, what topics I should bring, what I shouldn't bring when it comes to even when we were going through all of the COVID stuff, the mandates, the lockdowns, and so on. I have never been told once I had to be vaccinated to be on this program. I am not vaccinated. Proud of it, by the way. I mean, I work here with a new group of individuals that you know, own this particular network of stations, if you would, that are pretty much, how should I say, Dr. Moon, we are in the free speech end of things and continue to drive that forward. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of us left.
Yeah, I think there actually are quite a few people who do realize what's happening, but they're so polite. They're being too polite. We cannot be polite in the face of a communist takeover. You know, we are such law-abiding, peaceful people that I'm not saying not to be peaceful, but I'm saying that we need to be loud. We have to push back, and we're so not used to that. My mom, having grown up under the system, you know, when I was a child, I used to say, "Mom, like, why do you not trust our government? Our government is amazing." And she just would look at me and say, "You know, governments can turn on you, and you just never know." Because she experienced it.
Yes.
And I always thought she was a little kooky. I'll be honest, I love her, but I thought, you know, my mom is a little bit off here, but
No.
No, she was spot on.
She was not off.
She was spot on.
No, she was not off at all, as you know. And you know, and I said this in the last hour. Unfortunately, she was not off. I mean, we would have loved to have been off, myself included, on a lot of the things that I've talked about over the past 2 years. The reality is we haven't been. And honestly, Dr. Moon, I wish I had been.
Yeah, she says that even though she was worried this might happen, and she had, sorry, I have my GPS on.
You're fine.
She has been horrified at how rapidly this has happened, nonetheless. She's been horrified by the rapidity of it. And she's just horrified where we are and how quickly it's happened.
Well, I like her, have been, if you would have asked me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, would we be in the place we're at today? And I would have said, yeah, there's no way. There's no way the American public are going to put up with some of the things that were even mandated through COVID, the lockdowns, businesses being shut down, having to wear a mask everywhere, on and on we go. Dr. Moon, if you would have told me that then, I would have said, no way, that's never going to happen. I look back at it now and I think, oh, my word, are we gullible or what?
Yeah, we have been taken over in a way that has been. So I'm trying to turn this off and pull over. I'm so sorry.
You're fine.
Hold on one
take
second.
Take your time. We have got plenty of time. You are more than fine. Just take your time and be safe, most of all. Be safe. We'll let her get settled. There we go. No, you get settled.
Sorry about that.
You're fine. You get settled in. Not a problem at all.
No, I'm settled. I'm good. I'm settled. So we have been taken over the way that they had always intended to do this, which is incrementally. And so... you know, we all know the analogy with the frog and the boiling pot of water. And, you know, and we all know that. And here it is happening. You know, they take your freedoms just one little tiny piece at a time. And, you know, you give them up one little chunk at a time. So not a big deal. We'll all just put a mask on. You know, not a big deal.
Right.
We will do this. We will do that. And
Dr. Moon, we had our governor here when it comes to masks. Literally, our governor here went on public television and literally told everybody like myself that if you don't wear a mask, you're just a selfish bastard.
Yeah, yeah. And fear was what they were taught when she was growing up. Fear is how you drive the whole thing. You put terrible fear into people where they will do anything for that feeling of safety. And you tell them that you're doing it for the common good. I mean, look, this has happened over and over again in history. It's what my mom was taught in her 20s. It is rolling out here in a really terrifying way. I do want to let the listener know just a little bit about what's happening, if you wouldn't mind.
Go ahead. No, take your time. Go ahead.
You know, we are so silenced and threatened. I have had, you know, obviously I'm looking at data. I have been concerned about the safety of the COVID-19 shot for children since it first rolled out. Mm-hmm. You know, we were seeing things that we should not have been seeing, like horrible things happening to people. I was looking at data, and I was alarmed. I have been speaking out. I have never ordered this for any children, of any patients of mine. We all have family and friends who took this, but, you know, none of my patients have had me recommend this. And because of my concern, I was asked to speak at a congressional hearing. I was asked to speak at one of the roundtable discussions that Senator Johnson had in Washington, D.C. So I had a congressman ask me to come speak about my safety concerns and what I've been seeing. As a result of speaking out, I have a memo from one of my employers, and I leave that employer anonymous, but a letter from one of my employers stating, among other things, that they have an ethical obligation to report me to the medical commission, which is a threat directly against my medical license, for having said the things I said at the hearing, which again was my professional duty to speak out. I read this letter and I chuckle, but I'm, you know, really annoyed by it as well. This is straight out of something from Stalin or any of the other dark times in history. You are purging people who have safety concerns, and you're threatening us with our livelihoods. You know, next these regimes start to threaten people with their lives. We all know how this doesn't end well. So why are we going down this path? Why are my colleagues and employers doing this? It's really a rather terrifying time. We look around the nation and we see how many physicians have had their licenses threatened, their board certification threatened. And for the record, I've practiced for over 20 years. I trained at a top U.S. medical school. I have a clean patient care record, and I have been pro traditional childhood vaccines during my career. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for them to come after me for having a safety concern is, it's just beyond outrageous. And every American listening to this should be outraged.
Yep. Yeah, well, I know I am. I know I've got a lot of listeners that would, you know, very much be on your side, my side. I know we've got some that probably are on mm-hmm. the fringe. And I've got folks that listen to us on the other side that I literally daily try to convince to come over to this side to wake up and really realize yeah. what's happening to them, to us as a country. The, as you said a moment ago, the silencing. To me, I think that's the biggest... The biggest issue that I've had on, yes, I've had issues with masks. Yes, I've had issues with the mandates. Yes, I had issues with the lockdowns yeah. and killing small businesses. But most of all, I think, Dr. Moon, it's the silencing, the things that you're mentioning right now, the punishment even for individuals that have spoken up that, frankly, should be able to speak up. That's how we learn. It's how we grow. It's how science, by the way, and healthcare is supposed to work. If there's something new that comes up, it should be able to be
that's
discussed
right.
and analyzed and gone back and forth. And that's how things are supposed to work. We've not
That's
done
right.
that
Absolutely.
In this case. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. No. No, and I also have shared publicly that I won't share the name of the medical school, but I've had several medical school affiliations, and I've taught for over 20 years. I've taught medical students, residents, interns. I have never seen an environment like we have in our current medical schools. This is happening nationwide. There are subjects that we are not allowed to touch with the medical students, and if we do, then we have complaints against us that the students feel unsafe. Unsafe with having a discussion. I'm not talking about people, you know, berating them
right.
or being mean to them or yelling at them. I'm talking about simply sharing viewpoints from differing, you know, perspectives. They don't tolerate it. They are traumatized by it.
Yep.
They state that they're harmed by it.
Wow.
I was actually pulled from my teaching several years ago and investigated for student mistreatment for having paraphrased Dr. Martin Luther King in a discussion that we were having on racism
wow.
because my students couldn't tolerate it, and for having some critical thinking type discussions with them.
Unreal.
One of them actually centered around the COVID shots. I was just critically thinking with them. They asked me what I thought, and I said, I wonder what the biodistribution is of these, what could they cause, you know, cancers or rheumatologic
right.
issues or
right.
immune problems. My students complained to the chairman that I had told them that the shot might not be 100% safe, and that, they allege, caused them trauma and harm. So
wow.
we are to a point where, you know, this is history repeating itself.
Yeah.
My mom saw professors purged from her school when she was in college for very similar crazy-type things like this. We simply have to make this stop, or we have no
yep.
future for
right.
our children. We
and
really don't.
No, you're 100% correct. And I've
yeah.
I come out of the automotive world. I'm not in the medical community. I
mm-hmm.
happen to have a talk show that I've done now for about
yeah.
10 years plus, and am very blessed to be able to do this on a daily basis. But I want to do a comparison, because I can tell you right now, when it comes to even the auto mm-hmm. world, Dr. Moon, and the fixing of vehicles and the different technologies that come along, and even the different ways
yeah.
that we in the aftermarket even fix the vehicles that are already on the road today, if we were not allowed to have discussions about what's the best way to do this, or what's the best way to improve that, or how about this particular design, and on we go, if we were not allowed to have those open discussions, we wouldn't have the
yeah.
motoring world that we have. You wouldn't be having GPS in your car and doing what you just did a moment ago if we were not allowed to do that. So my point
That's
is,
right.
if we stop doing that in the medical world, we're done. We're done.
Yeah, we're done for. And this generation of students are being cheated of an education.
Yes.
And their future patients are being cheated of critically thinking physicians who can,
yep.
who can, you know, do what's best for the patient in front of them. Because if you can't critically think, you are not going to be able to help that individual patient in front of you. You are no different than a technician just doing what, you know, the pharmaceutical companies
right.
tell you to do. And that's where we're headed in healthcare right now. And it's really not a good, it's a bad place to be headed. We're on the wrong path.
Well,
you know?
I talked about this in the last hour. My feeling is, if we don't get this fixed, we're going to end up with two healthcare systems. The one you just talked about, where people are sucked
mm-hmm.
in, they just do whatever doctors tell them to do, pop this pill, do this, do that. And then there'll be the whole alternative side, where folks like yourself go over to that side. It's self-insured. You might have catastrophic insurance for something really, really major, but otherwise
yeah.
you're paying out of pocket. You're going to be listening to people like yourself do the things necessary. And unfortunately, if we don't have more people coming into that side as young people and teaching them correctly, it won't happen. The question I have, though, is if we end up with these two sides, because I think we will, still, how does it work for the scholastic end of things? Because if government is in charge of all of that, which they have been, how do we even get young people trained into that other side of the aisle, if you would?
Yeah, we have a medical education system right now that, in my personal opinion, and I've seen it from the inside for a number of years, it is fully captured by our pharmaceutical companies and our regulatory agencies and these employers. They are not interested in hearing anything in terms of a dialogue about critical thinking and all the things we just discussed. So we're going to have to build this from square one.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're Americans. We can do it. We have no other choice at
we
this
don't.
Point.
But right.
What we need is we need the public to realize that, A, it's happening, because right now there's a massive war happening within the medical education world and within medicine, and many people don't know about it. It's just, it's a very quiet, silent war, but they have purged many of the critical thinkers. They've retired.
Right.
They've left. They're like, I'm not going to deal with this. My mom was the one who warned me. She's like, stay in the system, because, you know, this is what she saw happen in her, you know, in her homeland. When they purge these professors, she's like, stay in the system. But what we really need are the citizens listening now to band together and to, first of all, realize that these many of these schools are not private. Many of these schools are public schools. They're your school.
That's right.
Your school. They're our schools. They're we the people. We need to start writing to these schools and demanding that this turn around. And we can still do that. They're our schools, A. But B, we need to start launching some, you know, parallel system type schools, medical schools on the side, because we've got to train these young people. We have great students in there, and many of them are just silent. They're scared to speak out. They come to us, and they're whispering, and they're like, this is really horrible time to be in medical school. What do I do? You know, we have some great people in there, and then the others really don't understand what they're doing. I think they're also good people, but they just think this is the way it is. And, you know, will you immediately cry foul if a professor tells you something that you don't like? Not that you have to think it, just tells you that it exists.
Right.
You start to scream that you've been harmed and you've been threatened. And words are not harmful in that sense. Words are part of a discussion, you know?
Right.
You figure out
where your
own opinion lies. So we as a public need to demand that these schools switch this around. There are taxpayer dollars in many cases going into these schools.
Well, that was going to be my next question, Dr. Moon, everything you said, spot on. Fully agree with that. Been some of the same things that we've been talking about here on our program now for quite some time. And I saw some of this coming even before COVID hit, when it came to insurance companies taking over doctors' offices and practices and so on. Some of this has been in the works for 10 plus years, as you know.
Yes,
the question I have for you, when it comes to the scholastic side, given the fact that in most cases, or probably all cases, all of those schools are regulated by a state organization, state health board, whatever the case may be. How do we allow, you know, how do we get those agencies to allow these things to happen, where we want this alternative, quote unquote, medicine, if you would? How do we get that done when we've got all of this overarching hovering, if you would, not allowing it to happen in the first place? How do we change that?
Yeah, I think we just have to get serious about it. We need people to band together, and they need to look at their state, see what their state laws are, how much of your taxpayer dollars are going to these schools, demand accountability from your politicians, know that there's a massive problem within our medical schools, and locally, with state by state, demand that they fix it. Right now, what's happening in those schools is so, you know, it's so hidden from the public eye that you don't even know it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the schools around the nation are very much right now promoting, for example, the idea, as we get into this very woke curriculum and the gender-affirming care, they're not even discussing with students that there's a different perspective for younger kids. It's just one narrative. And they're even having discussions in many schools about how the parents should have their rights taken away if they don't agree with gender-affirming care for their children. I don't want our future physicians growing up thinking that's the answer.
Right.
You know, there needs to be a dialogue and a discussion about what makes sense, and that needs to be an open discussion. And it's not happening. These students are leaving with the impression that, in many of these cases, that parents should have their rights taken. 5 to 10 years from now, when these physicians are in positions of power,
right.
we're going to have a very different world.
Great point.
And, you know, So I think
it goes back to what you said a moment ago about how communism takes over in the first place. It's not this one, you know, fell swoop thing that happens. They just chip away, chip away, chip away. And that's what you just said is part of it as well.
Yeah, I think so. I kind of think of it as that, you know, have you been to the amusement park where there's that bucket of water that's filling? And
yep.
It kind of fills and fills and fills, and all of a sudden it tips. You know, it fills and fills because they initially start to hire more and more like-minded professors, and it gets very heavy and no longer neutral and independent. It's just very heavy in one direction, and then they keep hiring more like-minded people as they interview them, and then, you know, then the whole bucket just crashes.
That's right.
We're really off a cliff right now.
Well, I would love to have you back. As you can tell, you very much speak the language that we do here. We're doing our very best and have been all through COVID. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. I came to the station, never stopped driving, never stopped coming in. I did everything. My life did not change one iota through COVID. I was bound and determined to do the exact same things I was doing prior, and I did. Yeah. I mean, in some cases, I couldn't go to your favorite restaurant, some of those things, because some of that, of course, got closed down. But outside of that, Dr. Moon, nothing in my world changed, and we tried to do the exact same thing, you know, on air and get what you're talking about out to people and really spread the word. And I feel like my listeners have done a really good job of that. We just need more. To your point, all of you listening, we need more help. We need you to do your part and do more. And everything you said, Dr. Moon, is exactly what we need to do. I would love to have you back. This has been great. I know I took more of your time than I planned, and I appreciate you being gracious to us.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Thank you all for everything that everyone's doing. We need this in America right now. There's no other choice.
We'll keep doing it.
Thank you.
Dr. Moon, thank you. We really appreciate it. And we will have her back, folks. As you can tell, she very much speaks our language. First time I've talked to her, we will definitely have her back in the future.